All right. Good morning, everyone. I hope everyone is awake on the last day, 8:30. Today we're going to look at one of the greatest things we've done for multidimensional in some time. Power View reports with multidimensional models. My name is Casper de Jonge, and I'm a senior program manager on the Inala services team, the team who built the multidimensional models and Tabular and Power Pivot. We're going to look at today is how does PowerView view a multidimensional model? Because PowerView in nature is a tabular reporting tool. And multidimensional is a multidimensional tool that has all these concepts that the tabular model doesn't know about. So we made some translations and we made some things work to actually be able to represent it inside PowerView. The goal with the work that we did is that any multidimensional cube that you already have will just work against PowerView models. There are some small things that not work, but those are not very commonly used. And if some things do not work, it doesn't mean that your entire cube will not show up. And I'll show those examples a little bit later on. So what are we going to look at today is we're going to look at an overview. What is PowerView and how does it work? Then we're going to take a look at all these multidimensional concepts you see here. Measure groups, dimensions, calculated members, images, perspective translations, pinned filters. And then we're going to have a small Q&A on commonly asked questions. This is not the Q&A feature, unfortunately. Mostly it's going to be demos. So what is PowerView? Where did it get started? Well, PowerView starts when a user opens her browser and wants to do reporting. And what happens is, when PowerView gets opened inside the browser, it talks to reporting services. And it's the reporting services running inside SharePoint mode. The reporting services running in Tabular in SharePoint mode talks to a Tabular server and asks for Tabular metadata. What are your tables? What are your relationships? What are your measures? That's it. It doesn't ask for measure groups, for example. As soon as it has the Tabular metadata, it knows how to, when someone drags fields onto the canvas, it knows how to write the DAX queries that are being sent. So PowerView now creates DAX queries, just like Excel sends MDX queries. Now, this was the whole scenario that we supported up until this moment. Now, we also, when you want to connect to a Tabular model, we also did make some changes to PowerView, but we didn't make PowerView make talk MDX all of a sudden. That would be a colossal effort. And we sent Tabular metadata to a multidimensional server. And then we sent DAX queries to a multidimensional server. So the multidimensional server now, and it's both the BI semantic model, and they both flavors, the tabular and the multidimensional one, now understand both MDX and DAX. And this is the architecture as we had it up until now. We have the BI semantic model. Client tools talk to the BI semantic model in either multidimensional flavors or tabular flavors. And what happens is you can choose how you want to build your model. You can either do it in a multidimensional fashion or in a tabular fashion. If you do it in a multidimensional fashion, your business logic, your measures, are being written in MDX. You have scope assignments, calculated members, all those things. In Tabular, you write your business logic in DAX. Now, the end tool, the client tool, whether it's Excel or third-party tools or PowerView or SharePoint Insights, dashboarding, those kinds of things, they either send MDX, because that already exists, MDX, or when it's PowerView, DAX. The problem was, before we shipped this feature, is that we didn't complete the vision. Multidimensional was not able to talk a tabular language. So the BI semantic model, as we talked about, was not really working. It's not really finished. So that's what we made. That's what we fixed here. So the thing that we fixed is you can now query a multidimensional model using DAX. And now PowerView starts lighting up as well. In order for us to do that, we have to translate. We have to translate internally. from a multidimensional concept to a tabular concept, because part view doesn't really change all of a sudden. So there's a few things. When we have BS semantic multidimensional on the left, and we have the tabular object on the right, a cube becomes a model. A cube dimension becomes a table. Attributes, keys, names, all of those things become columns. Measure groups, again, a table. Measure is still a measure. A measure without the measure group is within a table called measures. So that is a capability. So we automatically create a table for you and put them in there. When you have measure group to cube dimensions relationships, you will just have a relationship. A perspective is still a perspective. KPI is still a KPI. And user parent child hierarchies or just hierarchies are just hierarchies. So that's the one-to-one mapping that we have. So what actually happens when we send a query? What actually happens when we send a DAX query? And remember, there's a difference between DAX measures and DAX queries. You cannot write a DAX measure now inside multidimensional. You still use MDX. You still use your normal everyday MDX. The only thing that is different is you can now query your multidimensional model with ParView or any other tool that wants to talk DAX. So what happens in all cases, the client application, in this case we have the multidimensional metadata, it's in a cube. The client application asks for what do you have in your model? And we send the discover CSDL metadata. That's the name of the discover command. That command returns all the metadata that the model has. So that goes to the query parser. The query parser goes to the metadata layer and asks, what do you have? Well, the metadata layer says, I have a multidimensional model. Let me translate it to tabular. And a tabular gets then eventually returned to the client application. Now the client application can build its field list. A customer or someone drags something from the field list on the canvas, DAX query gets sent. And it can be, in this case, I imagine that you have, you drag in fiscal year and a measure. The DAX query gets sent again to the DAX query parser. The query parser goes to the DAX query processor. The DAX query processor now goes and check with the metadata layer is everything in order here? Does he use the columns that we expect him to use and those kinds of things? If everything is in order, it will continue. Now things get a little bit more interesting. There are two types of things you can ask for. You can either ask for a measure, but you're also asking for a measure for attributes in a dimension. So the DAX query gets split into two ways. One, the MDX measure, including its context, gets being sent off to the MDX formula engine, and it actually calculates the MDX expression. The dimension queries, just simple, give me all the fiscal years, gets directly retrieved from the storage engine, evaluation engine. The MDX formula engine then goes through formula engine caches, see, do I have these results already in cache? If not, it actually goes down to the storage engine evaluation engine and retrieves the actual values. The evaluation engine either gets them from storage engine caches, or it needs to go and fetch it from the partition data. Once these two, the measure data and the attributes of the dimensions are being gathered, they get sent back to the DAX query processor who assembles them and makes them into a tabular result set. Different than in MDX. In MDX, you have a multidimensional result set where you can move across multiple different axes. The tabular DAX is rows and columns by nature. That's it. So the results get returned to the client application, and that's it. This is how DAX works inside the multidimensional engine. So with that, let's go ahead and take a look at what these things look like. And how does it actually work inside ParView? So what I have here is AdventureWorks. We all know it. I haven't made a single change to it, except I've added a few new things that we added to multidimensional with this release, and I'll show this in a second. But other than that, we haven't made any changes. So it just works out of the box. What we have here on top is measure groups, AdventureWorks, internet sales, and we have our dimensions. We're going to start with that. Let's go ahead and take a look at what that looks like inside PowerView for multidimensional. So the first thing that I have here is SharePoint, SharePoint 2013, with the reporting services added and installed. You need to have that in order to get PowerView. And once you have a document library set up, you have to make sure that, and I just want to call that out, you have to make sure that you add these content types to it to actually, in order for you to be able to see all these special content types. So what you can do is go to library, go to library settings, go to advanced, and say allow management of content types, yes. Go back. Now you can add several content types. This is the same thing as you need to do for normal PowerView against Tabular, but I just want to point it out. So you can add your own content types. You can add the BI semantic model, report data source, report, those kinds of things. Now your document library becomes enabled for PowerView, for reports in general. So in order for us to create a connection to a PowerView, a multidimensional model, we need to have a connection or an already existing report, but let me start with the connection. So what I've done is create an RSDS file. You can go in files, new, create report data source, and what I can do is I can click on add a data source definition. The most important thing here is use the Microsoft BI semantic model for PowerView as an option. There's also a analysis services option in there. Do not use that because that is our traditional multidimensional data source. PowerView will completely go crazy when you do that. In order for you to create a connection, just use data source, initial catalog, we've all seen this before, and the cube name. One of the interesting things is PowerView can always only connect to one cube at a time, so not to multiple cubes, because in Excel you have an option that actually allows you to choose up front. When you create a connection here, it only connects to one cube at a time. Credentials are just flowing through, just like normally. So when I press on this, and I'm actually going to skip ahead to an already pre-created report that I have here. When you click on it, it opens up PowerView inside SharePoint. I'm going to edit the report. And I'm actually not going to go back to the slides. I'm going to have all the slides inside PowerView, so we don't have to go back and forth. But the first thing that I have here is my mesh and measure groups, and I want to show you what that looks like. The first thing you might notice, how many of you have worked with PowerView on top of Tabular? Okay, only a few. So the difference between the two is you see a table with a sigma sign here. That didn't exist before. That doesn't exist when you connect to a Tabular model. This is the measure group. The table of our measure group will show up like this. So we see on the right, we see internet sales, all our measure groups, and we see all our dimensions on the bottom. They really, really show up like tables. So let's start adding some things to the field list, to the canvas. I'm going to internet sales amount, by date, fiscal year. Pretty straightforward, it just works. One of the interesting things to notice here, and for those of you who have worked with Tabular models and PowerView on top of Tabular models, in Tabular, it's normal because of the relationship, because of the nature of a Tabular model, that you can aggregate columns yourself as an end user. So when you have a year column, for example, and there's a numerical value, you can create a measure out of that inside PowerView. You cannot do that in multidimensional. Imagine the havoc that you can create when you start allowing everyone to just do arbitrary things on your multidimensional cubes. We didn't think that was a good idea, so we didn't allow it. Okay, so the other thing you might notice here is display folders. So let's go ahead and take a look at that. So what I have here is my KPIs in my multidimensional model, and we have growth in customer base. I didn't change anything, it just works. Value expression, goal expression. It's in measure group internet sales. Scroll down, go down. We have some additional options, and here we have display folder. Those display folders are also now respected in PowerView. That's a new feature for PowerView. So when I go up and I go to my customer perspective, expanded customer base, here you see a regular KPIs, just like KPIs in Tabular. They also show up here. And we can do status and trends, and we can see they work inside PowerView as well. A thing that I just wanted to call out, MDX cell errors, it's also something that Tabular models do not have and do not support. MDX, of course, does have MDX cell errors. The MDX cell errors will just be used inside PowerView. So if you have an MDX cell error in any cell, it will just return you the error message as well. Just wanted to call that out. So now we've created a very simple report. What happens when I actually execute it? So I've started a profile trace here. Let me start with just a simple one. You can see under the covers, it's sending DAX, not MDX. And it has, let me see if I can find a little bit more interesting query. Yeah, here. I don't know how many of you know DAX, but there are some very interesting things in here that do not exist in the DAX language when you connect to a Tabular model. For example, we see .key0 of an attribute. That doesn't exist in Tabular because we don't have keys. But in the multidimensional world, we have names and we have keys, and we need to be able to group by the keys instead of the name. We don't have that in Tabular, but we added structures to the DAX language to allow us to be able to use that. And I hope at one point we can actually start exposing that in Tabular as well. Some other things that you can see here is format string, cultures, all those things are now inside of the DAX language. And we group by the key. So all those things are new in the DAX language. Okay. So what's next? Dimensions. So let's take a look at attributes in the dimension. So again, I have my cube here. Let me go to my geography dimension. And the thing you can see here is we have attribute relations set up. I'm going to click on city. We have key. The key is a group of keys. We have the name columns. All of those things just work. You don't have to change anything to your multidimensional cube. It just works. So let's take a look at what that looks like inside PowerView. So we go to the geography dimension. Let's add country as a slicer. Let's add state province. And let's add reseller sales amount. Scroll down. One of the cool things now that we can do is use those capabilities that are inside PowerView, like for example, I can change this into a map. And automatically plots these things on a map. I didn't have to do anything inside PowerView or in multidimensional because PowerView uses the Bing Maps APIs to actually get the values straight out of your. So let's say in this case, let's hover over one, is Ontario. It knows what to plot Ontario and it plots it right there on the map. You don't have to do lat longs and all those things. PowerView will just take care of that for you. Slicing and dicing still works. So if I click on Germany or France, you see they all automatically zoom in. So that's pretty cool. That works out of the box as well. One thing you might have noticed here is in front of country, we have a special icon. It's a globe icon. What happens is when you go into your multidimensional model and you say here, the type of the country column is a country. Now PowerView knows there's something special about this thing. And it knows that they can plot it on a map. So it has some better default behavior. You don't have to do this, but it makes life for the end user, for the one who's using the PowerView reports, a lot easier. We didn't have to change anything. This was already there in the multidimensional cubes today. We actually leveraged that in the Tabular model. So in the Tabular model, you do a similar thing. When you have a column and you set it to country, it automatically does the same thing. Okay, let's go back. I wanted to show one more thing. So I'm going to set reseller sales amount by date, calendars, calendar year. We can do a bar chart. One of the other cool things that are possible thanks to Power View is the really interactive data visualizations. And those things also still work. So I can click on here and you see the bars changing on the left. Can't see it too big, but you can see the bars changing on the left. So all the cross-filtering that is being allowed by Power View is also still possible inside Power View because we are using the DAX language. And the DAX language is really what makes this possible. Okay, let's go to the next one, hierarchies. So one of the things that we also have inside the multidimensional model is hierarchies. So let me go to my product table. I do not want to save this. Product. So you see here we have one dimension that has three different tables underlying. You see that on the right. We have one big product dimension and multiple different hierarchies. Hierarchies is another concept that we didn't have before inside Power View. We have now. So I can go to my product table, and we can see product categories here. But it is different than it is in Excel and when you connect to a multidimensional language. In Excel, your hierarchy is just one click, and everything automatically gets added. One of the changes that we wanted to make is we want to make sure that when you click on a hierarchy, sometimes you can get into nasty performance issues because a hierarchy contains all the way up to the last node, and those things are the last attributes in the hierarchy, and those things always get completely calculated. So what you can do now in PowerView is you have to actually make a choice. So what happens is when I click on this thing, I hover over it and I go down, you see the checkboxes light up. I don't know if it's really clear in the back. I can zoom in a bit. But it depends on where I hover over, these things light up. So it's still easy because if I still go to the last one, it automatically multi-selects everything else. In this case, I'm fine because there's not too much data here anyway. So let's add internet sales. Let's go down, internet sales amount. And one of the biggest things that we also added here is you can actually drill in and drill up and drill down. So let's switch to a matrix view. And let's now this thing becomes enabled, show levels, and I can select here, enable drill down on rows. So click on it. And now it automatically gives me my upper hierarchy, the first level. And I can drill down in this. I can double-click on bikes. I can double-click on road bikes. I can drill up. That's another new capability that we added to PowerView. Drill up and drill down. Another famous example, of course, in multidimensional, what multidimensional can do is parent-child. So what you see here is my employee attribute. It is a self-referencing attribute. You can see it in here as well. How does this work in PowerView? Because in multidimensional, it's really dynamic. On the fly, when you click on those hierarchies inside multidimensional, it will start working. PowerView or the multidimensional works a little bit different. PowerView needs to know upfront what are the attributes? What are the fields in there? So when you go and look into my employee table now, employee, you see this hierarchy here. Oh, misclicked. And it already knows how many levels I have. What happens is when I do this discover CSDL command that I talked about in the beginning to actually get all the metadata about the model, the multidimensional model actually will take a look at all the data that is there and see how many levels there is and return that. So when I do a reprocess command and next time around there is an additional level, you will see this additional level here in PowerView because it's only doing it during PowerView when PowerView starts for the first time in my browser. So again, the same thing I can do here is I can go my employee table. I can add all the levels here. Let me add it a little bit here. I can make it into a matrix. Show levels, enable drill up and drill down. You see Ken Sanchez, he's probably CIO or something. and drill down and drill up. And you can see the ragged hierarchies also work. Okay, so that is dimension hierarchies. Another function or feature that we have in our multidimensional models is non-aggregatable attributes. So let's take a look at one of the examples that we have in AdventureWorks, is the account dimension. And the account dimension, again, here is a self-referencing relationship. But one of the features that is set up and one of the properties that have been set here is aggregatable is false. And it kind of makes sense, because this is a special thing that we just use for our accounts view of the world. So when I go in here, and I go to my accounts view, and I'm going to drag it on, and let me just add four levels or something, you can see it's a balance sheet. It doesn't make a lot of sense to have a total for a balance sheet. So let me see what I need to do. I need to go to my accounts dimension, and then I need to add my financial reporting amount. Now, if I make it into a matrix view again, let me actually remove one. Makes life a little bit easier. Is there anything that already notice that you notice here? There's something missing. I click on the drill down, and if you get the right answer, I'll give you one of my books that has just come out. What is missing here? What don't we see? Anyone know? Raise your hand, and I can see it. I think I heard the right answer. No, that's actually what we expect from the balance sheet, that becomes zero at the end of the year. Well, actually, you can. So what's missing here is the grand total. There's no grand total. And that's what we expect, because you cannot add a balance sheet, a net income, and a statistical accounts to each other. And that's why we have this attribute that says, this level is totally not aggregatable. Don't do it. So what PowerView automatically does is do not show your grand total. But if I zoom in on the balance sheet, you now actually see it actually starts adding this grand total back. And you see the assets, the liabilities, and equity together even up, and they come to this amount. And I can zoom in more further, and you can see the total is being added here. And here, there's no grand total. Okay, so non-aggregatable attributes. And the other interesting thing to notice here is this NA. For those of you who are familiar with multidimensional, this is not a surprise, but for tabular users, this is a big surprise, because this is not possible in Tabular. In Tabular, you have strongly typed results. So it's either a numerical value or nothing. And it cannot be that you have either a numerical value at one point and sometimes a measure with a numerical value or text or those kinds of things. In multidimensional, you can mix and match. You can do whatever you want. So DAX now also supports this. And the other thing that I wanted to mention, I don't have a demo about that, but all the security and all the dimension security, all those things are just supported and just as they are, because the only thing that actually happens is the actual results that get returned is done by the engines, or PowerView didn't have to do any work to actually support the security. So that just works as we know it today, just like in Excel. Okay, so another feature that we have in here is default members. So how did we add that to PowerView? Let's quickly take a look at the model. First, let's go to our scenario dimension. And the scenario dimension here has a, let's see, default member that is set to be actual. And this is the first value. It's actually actual. So default member is being set here. What does that mean? So let's go ahead and see how this works in PowerView. So I can add filters. And when I use my scenario dimension, and I drag it on the filters, what you can see happening here is it says the scenario is by default filtered to actual. So it's a little bit different than in this in Excel and how this behaves. But in order for you to make use of the default filter that's being set, being created, you actually have to drag the field into the filters area. But if you do that, then automatically all the visualizations that you use are using the default member. The thing you want to notice here is if I drag this into here, let me move it a little bit more to the left, is that it's not actually filtered by actual. But if I select something else, budget or budget variance, you see things happening. Or I can select all, just ignore this, or I can, of course, remove the filter. And if I remove the filter, everything is being added. So that's another change, that is different. So if I drag the scenario dimension into the canvas, and again, I have to scroll to the left, it is not automatically filtered, because that's what we expect you probably want to do, is when you drag this dimension into the field, onto the canvas, you probably want to report on everything. And you can mix and match whatever you want. We are not going to add the default filter to it. So you need to really add this filter to the filters pane. Okay. So another interesting thing that we now support is, okay, let me go back here. So let me show you what some of the things are that we can do here. So let's add financial reporting, amount. And the other thing that you might notice here is we now can see things like dynamic format strings. Another thing that we don't support today in Tabular and DAX is that PowerView now also supports dynamic format strings. So this gives me budget variance, this gives me budget variance, and so these are our currency values, and this is my percentage. If I go in here, in dynamic format strings, the thing you might notice here is what I can do is go into my, where is it, destination formatting, destination currency. If I add destination currency, and let me add reseller sales. You can see one particular measure has all these different types, like Bolivar, like the Real, Euros, the Real, Pounds, Yens. We don't have this capability inside Tabular models. We do have this capability inside Multidimensional, and it just works. And the way that this is being set up in AdventureWorks is, when I go back to my AdventureWorks model, I actually go to calculations, and let's go to my script view. You can see it is actually done by a scope assignment. So that also works. And this is because the business logic is done in the engine after the DAX is being sent. So the business logic is not being done by DAX, but by MDX inside the multidimensional engine. So it just gets returned. The only thing that we had to change is to make PowerView actually understand this, to make sure that PowerView understands that, hey, in this case, it's a real, in this case, it's the pound, in this case, it's a euro, but the actual work is being done inside the engine. Okay. So let's continue on, because this is a scope assignment. The most interesting feature that we, of course, have in is one of my favorite features in multidimensional is calculated members. And we support calculated members inside PowerView. There are a few small things that we do not support or we have to work around, but it still shows up. So we have two different types, and let me automatically skip to the next one already. Is what we do support is two types of calculated members. They have the children of all with a single real member, and we have calculated members on user hierarchies. That's the only one we do not support, calculated members on user hierarchies. What does it mean when I say do not support? When we do not support it, it doesn't mean your cube doesn't work. When I say do not support it, it doesn't mean you have to rebuild everything. What actually happens is this particular calculated member will just not show up. Everything else will work. If you want to see, if you want to check what is not supported inside your multidimensional model, what you can do is the first time when PowerView starts up against a multidimensional model, every session, it will actually log in the MSMGRV log file on your analysis services server, the things that are not supported, the things that we actually hit from you. So you can actually go in and check it on your development server or something like that inside the log file and say, hey, what is not supported? Do I need to make some changes to my cube? We've tried really hard to make sure you don't have to make any changes to your cubes, but there are some scenarios. I mean, multidimensional has been developed for like 15 years, maybe even longer. So there's a lot of features in there. And we've tried to make sure that everything is supported as good as we can, but not everything is there. So some additional constraints on the calculated members is it needs to be a single real member when a dimension has more than one attribute. And I'll show you an example of that in a second. Attributes cannot be the key unless it's the only attribute. And it cannot be used on a parent-child attribute. So that's kind of the same as my user hierarchies. So let's take a look at what those things look like. So calculated members. So the first thing that I want to show you is, again, our scenario dimension. So we have our scenario dimension here, and you just saw that it actually has only three members. But if I go into my cube here, I can say search quick. And here it says, create a member called budget variance. It has a calculation. It shows me those format strings that we had, we showed earlier. Budget variance percentage, so it says percentage again. So that's one type of calculated member. We already showed that example, so I'm going to continue to the next one. The other famous example that we use inside our multidimensional is the date BI wizard, the date wizard. So if I look at my date table, we see this member that's being added, fiscal date calculations. And that is being added by running the BI wizard. And the BI wizard added all these time intelligence functions to my cube. And if I go into my data source view and my date table, you see that this thing added explore a new column, a fiscal date calculation with a current date value. But if I actually drag that field into my report, many more values are being added to that particular dimension or this attribute. So what happens? Where do they come from? Well, they come from all these members, calculated members that I created. So we have fiscal year, calculation, year-to-date, semester-date. Let me quickly zoom in. Year-to-date, semester-date, quarter-to-date, year-over-year growth. All those things are there. And these are all the calculated members. Scroll down, yeah, scope assignments, all the calculations are here. All of that just works. There's one small change that we had to do. And this goes back to one of those examples that were in the slides as for the single real member when a dimension has more than one attribute. Because the dimension has more than one attribute, so we had to do something else. So what you see, if I scroll down, you actually see two date columns, two date tables. We see a date called date, that's the date table, and we added a new table with a specific fiscal date calculation in it. That's the way we had to make it work. Otherwise, there was no way that we could ship this. So this is the thing we had to do. But it still works. So let's take a look at it. So what I'm going to do is add all these values. Fiscal date, calculation. Let me quickly add it to a filter. We still already have a filter open. Fiscal date calculation. Here you see all those calculated members showing up. And again, it's using a default member. When I now start dragging in my reseller sales amount by, I'll fix it up in a second, by month, make it into a line chart. Yeah, let's make it. Give me 1 second. Let me do fit the window. And you can see this is now using the current date. But if we set, give me year to date, it automatically allows me to do or semester to date, or month over month growth, year over year growth, an interesting one. And you can see all those things work. All those calculated members work. And now I can just play around with these things and just select the ones that I want to do. And all those things are respected by DAX, and automatically creates that DAX query, and it also respected the calculation, gives you the right calculation back. So those are being supported as well, calculated members. So what else? One new feature that we added to multidimensional is images. That's one of the coolest things you can do with Power View, is actually using images inside your visualizations. So let's go back to our country table. My geography table, excuse me. And what we added here is a country flag field. That's the only change we made to AdventureWorks. We added a country flag attribute, and this attribute is actually being set to the type image URL. That type didn't exist before we shipped this, so this is a new attribute type that we added to multidimensional. You only get that when you have this version of either SDT and PowerView installed. So how can I use this? Well, it's pretty straightforward, because what this thing contains is actually the URL to a picture of an image. There's a question. Yeah. I'll come to the questions in a second. So the question was, what version is this in? I'll come to those in a second. But so the country flag field contains the URL to the image. And PowerView then knows how to show that. So let's go in. Let's go to image URL. Let's go to my geography table. Let's drag in country flag. And here you see the flags showing up. Made it into a, let me delete this guy. Let's add country, or sorry, no, state, province, and by reseller sales amount. Let's put that into a map. And let's do fit the window again. So now you can quickly play around. So we can see all everything at Canada and Germany, France, UK, United States. And so you can quickly play around with things. So PowerView allows you to do much more visual and interactive playing around with your data, even on top of your existing multidimensional cubes. So images. So the next thing is perspective and translations. So one of the things that we can do here is we go to my cube again, and we see my perspectives. And the thing that we have here is all my perspectives. It's my my cube name, my perspective name. It's direct sales, channel sales, sales summary, finance, sales targets, all of those things. Those are here. The other thing is translations. So I have my internet sales amount, my Spanish translation, my French translation, all those things are in here. And if I go to my geography dimension, or my product dimension, sorry, you can actually see translations here as well. And we actually have translations on actual data as well. So I could do right mouse click, edit caption column, and you can see that when you're in Spanish, get the values from my Spanish product name column. These are all already existing multidimensional functionality that is also supported inside PowerView. You see the name, the caption is this, and the values need to come from that column. Okay, so let's take a look at what that looks like. I'm going to go back here. I'm going to actually stay on this page. I'm going to open up a new, go to my documents library, and what I've done here is create a second connection to my model, where I'm going to say, add a data source. And the thing that we see here is two things. We actually say cube is direct sales, and this is my perspective that I want to connect to. But the other thing is I need to set up the locale. So for every, this is different than it is against for Excel. In Excel, it automatically picks up the locale from the user's machine and gives that to my multidimensional cube and then automatically translates the values. That, unfortunately, does not work for PowerView in multidimensional. You have to create RSDS files for every language. That's an unfortunate side effect. We are not able to pass the SharePoint locale that it's running in to the multidimensional model on the fly. So you have to create data sources per language. But when I click on it, you will see that the field list is now in Spanish. Now things become interesting. Let me add the number of clients by product category. And you can see two things. You can see product categories here also in Spanish. You see the display folder also in Spanish. But you can also see that the data is now in Spanish. Where we previously had the data in English, now the data now also shows up in Spanish. And again, most of the heavy lifting here is done inside the Analysis Services engine, so there's nothing much you have to change. You just say, I want to have this thing running in this particular locale, and that will automatically make this work. Okay. So one of the other things that we have shipped in the same version as we ship everything in is pinned filters. So, let me show you an example, actually. It's probably better, and I'll come back to the slide in a second. So one other thing that we shipped in here is pinned filters. And pinned filters allows us to pin a filter. That sounds logical, right? So what is the possibility here? What is the capability? So one of the things that we have in here is I have a power view sheet. And in this power view sheet, I actually have two different slides. One is my reseller sales. Let me close this guy down and fit the window a bit. So we see a reseller sales count per across the globe. And I have KPI set up as well for my channel revenue KPI by countries. We have Australia, we have Canada, we have KPI set up. Now I want to filter by a specific country. So let me go in and do that. Go to geography, country, drag it in and say, I want to show everything by Canada. It works here, everything's by Canada. But now if I go back here, it still shows everything. So if you go between pages, it doesn't remember what I want to do. So what the PowerView team added is when you can click on, let me zoom in here, there's this small icon here. There's a pinning icon. If I click on this, the thing will be pinned to the entire report. So this filter will be used in any other page inside PowerView. If I go back here, you now will see, and I probably had some mapping problems here, but you can see Canada is being selected, and you can see here that the filter now shows up in every page. Let me actually turn this off because it's a little bit ugly, the way it renders. So you see country is Canada, and because it's being filled, being set here, being automatically pinned. That's one thing that is not possible, but the coolest thing, I think, what is being added here is you can actually add this to the URL as well. So one of the things that you can do is, and I've copied the URL here, is you can actually say in the end report filter is geography.country equals Australia. And when I copy this over and paste it in, copy, paste, leave this page. You can see it's now automatically set to Australia. So you can actually add parameters to PowerView now. That is for the first time that this is possible. And it gives you a lot of opportunities. Like, for example, you can create reports that allow you to drill through to another report where you can actually pass in parameters and stuff like that. Today, let me go back to the slide real quick. The only thing it's doing is you can only do equals. You cannot do smaller or greater or those kinds of things, or a set of things. This is just the first step into that direction. More will be added later, but this is just the first step. Okay, so let me go back to my slides. I have a few more slides, and then we're done. And we can do questions, of course. Yeah, we've seen this. Come on. Yeah, we've seen this. So I'll come to the Q&A that I promised you earlier. But so what have we seen? We've seen how multidimensionals are exposed in PowerView. So we made translations from all the multidimensional objects to tabular objects. We've created Power View reports against multidimensional cubes. It's available in SQL Server 2014. So let me go here immediately. So what are some of the questions, some of the common Q&As that we have? Do we need to upgrade analysis service and reporting service? And the answer is yes. There are two versions that you can go to. You can either go to SQL Server 2014. That's the easy answer. Or you can upgrade to SQL Server 2012 SP1 CU4. Make things easy. So we actually shipped this feature in SQL Server 2012, but we shipped it really late. But if you have SQL Server 2012 today, you can upgrade your analysis service and your reporting service in SharePoint to SP1 CU4, or maybe, and I don't think SP2 is out, but it probably will come out at one point. If you upgrade your analysis services cubes and your reporting services for SharePoint to these values, you automatically get this feature enabled. What multidimensional features are not supported? So we've seen what is supported but what is not supported. Named sets are not supported. If you have a cube with named sets, don't worry. The cube will still work, except the named sets will just not show up in Power View. If you connect with Excel to the same cube, it will show you the named sets. In Power View, they will not show up. The other thing that is not supported is actions. I mean, there is no capability inside Power View to do this kind of actions and go outside of the tool itself. Cell security permissions apply to a connected user. So if you really go deep down into your cell security permissions, that is not supported. What editions is available? It's only available in enterprise and BI editions of the SQL Server box. And can Power View in Excel 2013 connect to cubes? And the answer is unfortunately no, not yet. We are really, really hard working on this. It's top priority, but we do not have any updates on this timeline. But definitely the idea is that you can have your Excel 2013 with Power View in there connect, just like you can connect to your tabular models today. You should be able to connect to your multidimensional models as well and directly inside Excel play around with the data. We will get there, definitely. So let me quickly go to complete the evaluation. Let's do some questions. Anyone have any questions? Yeah.
Are the slicers also pinned across pages?
So can you repeat?
Slicers. Yeah.
No, a slicer, so the question is, are slicers pinned across pages? The slicers are not pinned across pages. Yeah?
Second question.
Sure.
So if you don't enter a locale in your connection string, what happens?
It just uses the default locale. And when you set up the cube, that's what usually happens.
Okay.
Yeah, it's using the default. Any other questions? Yeah?
When you created that link where you zoom directly to Australia.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Can I on the fly generate the link, including the filter, like you did that?
On the fly, not from Power View directly, but I mean, you can either create your own application that does this, or you can even do it from within Excel, for example. As long as you can generate something that actually creates this, and I can switch back to it, that actually does something like this, appends it, then you can do it. So you can either, I mean, I've seen people actually create a Power View report with just links in it, for example.
Yeah.
You can do those kinds of things. Yeah. Any other questions? Yeah, question over there.
With self-referencing and available hierarchies, is hierarchy one the lowest, most granular level, or the highest level?
That's the highest one.
So then if we inserted another level.
Uh-huh. Yes. No, it won't throw everything off the existing reports. It's just a new levels will be added. But everything will move up.
Yeah, if you had a report,
yes.
It was like more like a dashboard.
Yes. Let's
just say the lowest level
salesperson
had their
hand. I think that's. Yes, correct. I think that's actually the same as it is in Excel. I'm not 100% sure, but I think that's actually the same as it is in Excel today. So the question was, and let me repeat the question for, so the question was, if we have a dynamic hierarchy and you insert a level, what happens? Well, what happens is that level gets inserted and everything that used to be below that will now be below plus one. So the report will automatically change. The question over there. Yeah. Can we create this? Can you create one in the M language? We should chat about that. I'm not sure what your scenario is. Can you create this in M language and share it? I don't think so. But you can do anything in M language. But I'm not sure what you're going to do with it. But I will be here, so we can chat later. Yeah. So the question is, do you work in SRS? Yes, of course. If you write, so the question is, can you now send DAX in SRS against the multidimensional cube? Yes, you can. Yeah, you can do anything. You can write your own custom application that sends DAX to a multidimensional cube if you want to. Yeah. Another question over there? Or if we will ever have the capability of drill across dimensions in multidimensional? Maybe. Not right now, at least. Okay. Any other questions? So I'll be here, and I'll be at the booth later, so you can come and ask me more questions over there. Thank you very much for your attention. I hope you have a good time on TechEd. And please fill out your eval. Thank you.